One of the great truths of the Bible is that God will reward those who serve him. The Bible teaches us this, that God will reward those who serve him. He said to Abraham long, long ago, he said, "Do not fear, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward." The Bible ends more or less with the words of Christ. He says, "I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me." Again, in the letter to the Hebrews, the writer says to them, they were suffering, and he says to them, "God is not unjust to forget what? Your labor, your work, and your labor of love shown towards his name, in that you have ministered and do minister to the saints." He is assuring them that at the end of their journey, God will not have forgotten that they have served him, served his saints. You see, the Bible in one place, many more places, it says to you and it says to me, God will reward those who serve him. That's what it says. Let me say right at the beginning that all of his rewards to us are really what they're known as rewards of grace. Okay? In other words, they're rewards given to undeserving sinners. By nature and by fallen nature, you and I are hell-deserving sinners. We don't deserve anything. We certainly don't deserve rewards. I hate it when people say they must get what they deserve. This is a common thing in society. You deserve this good thing. No, we don't. We don't deserve any good thing. Right? And whatever good thing God gives us, it's out of his mercy and pity and grace. But having said that, the Bible is crystal clear that God will reward those who serve him. Now, in our passage that we just read, our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about some of the ways in which people serve God. Okay? So there are three things that Christ speaks about. Three ways that people serve God. The first way is what's known as charitable deeds. Or the old translation was alms. The word means giving a merciful help to a brother who is in desperate need. Okay, that's what it's about. You see someone who is in trouble, in need, and you meet that need for him. That's giving of alms. Not ARMS, but ALMS, giving of alms. Acts of mercy. Okay, that's one way. And the second way, that's in verse 1 and verse 2, the second way he speaks about praying. We pray to God. Prayer is part of our service in the Lord. And later, in verse 16, he talks about a third way of serving the Lord, and he speaks about fasting. That is, where we go without food, and the nature of fasting is that we afflict ourselves and we humble ourselves before God as we repent of our sins. So fasting is really a serious dealing with our own sins. Okay, so he's talking about giving, acts of mercy, prayer, and fasting. And he's really saying that the reason he's talking about these three things is because these are ways that we serve God. Okay? And These things were not new in the teaching of Christ, but they were already taught in the Old Testament. In the law of Moses, you'll hear things about giving merciful help to those in need, widows and orphans and so on. There's a little bit of instruction about fasting, and there's things about prayer in the Old Testament. Okay? So these things were not new. They were already practiced by the Jews before Christ taught. In Luke's Gospel, he tells us about a man who went up to the temple to pray, and he prayed like this. He says, "I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess." You can see that this was a big deal in his religion. And our Lord knew that his disciples would continue to do these things, to give mercifully, to pray, and even to fast. And so our Lord is talking about these things and, by implication, other things that we do when we serve the Lord. Okay? Now, our passage is a passage of warning. Did you notice the first word, or two words in English? The first words of this passage in chapter 6, verse 1 are what? Take heed. Take heed. You could translate it as one word in Greek, and it means be careful. Be careful. Our Lord wants to give us, in teaching, says, when you give these gifts, when you pray, be careful. Be careful. What? There is some kind of danger involved in this matter. Watch out, because there's a danger. What is the danger that Christ is concerned about? Can you see it? His concern is that you might do all of that and lose your reward. That's his concern. Think of it. Think of it. He says in verse 1, "Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Can you think about that for a moment? Imagine living what you think is the Christian life. Imagine a life of religious observance. And at the end, when you stand before God, you discover to your utter horror that God has not accepted any of it. That's the danger that Christ is concerned about. You might live the Christian life, but none of it is accepted to God. And there is no reward for you at the end. Can you see that Christ is concerned that his disciples will not get themselves in that position? You know, if you read Matthew's Gospel carefully, you'll see that all the way through the Gospel, he keeps coming back to the question of reward. Reward. In chapter 25, he even describes us all standing before the judgment seat of God to hear his verdict on our lives. That's where we're going. And so, see, I want you to see the real concern of our Lord is that we might, as it were, live the Christian life, but fall into the danger that he's talking about, and so lose our reward from God. Now, let me ask the question. Why would anyone lose his reward from God the Father? Why? Well, if I ask the question, why would a man lose his reward? There's another question behind that. And this is the question, what kind of reward does he want? What kind of reward do you want? Because you see, in this passage, Christ is aware that there are two different kinds of reward. Three times he says, they have their reward, but you must have your reward from your Father in heaven. So the question is, what are these two rewards? Well, the one reward, the one that we want, is to hear God the Father say to us, well done. We want his approval. Jesus here even uses the word, God will repay you. He will pay you back for your service. It's very striking. I don't want to suggest for a minute that we're in a kind of contract with God, but this is how he will deal with those who serve him. He will pay you back. And it's his reward that a wise man wants. It says in Proverbs, these wonderful words, he who is, listen to this, wonderful words, he who is gracious and kind and merciful to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will fully repay him. Think about it. We're now talking about God rewarding his servants, repaying them for their service. But you see, there were many in the time of Christ who were not thinking about that reward at all. They had their desires on a different kind of reward. And our Lord speaks about that three times. What is the reward that they were looking for? Well, when they gave acts of mercy, when they prayed, and when they fasted, they wanted people to see it. That was what was wrong. They wanted other people around them in their village or town or street, they wanted them to know that they were giving help. They wanted them to know that they were praying, and sometimes even long prayers, so that they would stand at the corner of the street or in the square so they could be seen from all sides. They wanted people to know that they were fasting so they would make themselves look miserable and, as he says, they disfigure their faces. So people, oh, that man is fasting. They wanted other people to see what they were doing. Why did they want other people to see what they were doing? They wanted to receive the praise. The word Christ uses is the glory from men. They wanted people to stand back and admire them. That's what they wanted. And I'll tell you what, it was even actually more sinister than this, because particularly among the scribes and Pharisees, if they built up a reputation for being a very holy and righteous person, they became wealthy through that. It was a money spinner for them. Maybe rich fathers would send their sons, as Saul of Tarsus' father did, send him to Jerusalem to sit at the feet of Gamaliel. Well, that cost money. Men made money out of their religion. The Apostle Paul says this in his first letter to Timothy. He says, there are people who imagine that godliness is a means of gain. Why would they think that? They were, as it were, using their religious practices, using even their ministry, to make money from the church. And he warns them, he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I want you to see what's going on here. They were doing the same things, but they were doing it for entirely different motives. Can you see that? See, the question in Christ's teaching is, what do you want? Why are you doing these things? What is your motive in your heart? The hypocrite wanted honour from men. That's what they wanted. And Jesus is saying, don't be like that. You see, we're not talking now about what they did, but why they did it. And you know the Bible everywhere, it says this, that God sees the heart. God looks into our heart and he can read your motives in what you do. Later in the Gospels, Jesus will speak to the scribes and Pharisees and he'll say, you are outwardly very righteous, but inside you're not. And God sees what's inside. He says, you're like graves. You know, they would paint the tombs all white, but inside full of uncleanness and dead men's bones. Filthy inside, but very good to look at the outside. And the Lord is saying to his disciples, don't fall into that trap. Don't do this. Now, do you notice what our Lord says to them? If you have your Bibles, you can see it in verse 3. In verse 3, he's talking about giving alms or deeds of mercy. And he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Well, can you see that this is not literal? My left hand doesn't know anything. Hasn't got a brain. It's not a literal thing. It's like when earlier our Lord says, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. He doesn't mean do that literally. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. He doesn't mean do that literally. And neither does he mean these things literally. Okay? What does he mean when he says, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing? The emphasis is on the words in secret. And what our Lord is saying is, ensure that people don't know what you're doing. Okay? Keep it out of the view of your brothers and sisters. It's between you and your Father in heaven. When he says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, he doesn't rule out prayer in the church. It's talking about an approach to prayer. Martin Lloyd-Jones is a great preacher. You'll find in his books, he talks about preachers praying from the pulpit. And he says in one of his books, that's one of the most difficult things that a preacher has to do. Because when he's praying from the pulpit, he is in much more danger of falling into this trap than if he's praying in his bedroom. Because he is aware that he's praying in front of other people. And in his mind, he has to say, if you like, I don't care what the congregation thinks about my prayer. It only matters what God thinks about my prayer. Now, there's a huge spiritual battle going on. But the thing is this, Christ is really teaching us that we must not live for the opinions of others. We must not serve God for the praise of man. You know, in modern education, they're totally always being told that children must be praised. Praise them for this and praise them for that. Christ is saying, don't look for praise. Get rid of all that nonsense and think about God's opinion of you. I have to say to you before I finish that in the current climate, charitable giving is a multi-million dollar or pound industry. There's sponsored runs and people wear rubber bands, virtue signaling. All of that has got nothing to do with what Christ is talking about here. He's talking about acts of mercy, brother to brother, in secret. Just don't let the world shape your mind as to how you think about these things. What is our Lord really doing here? He's saying to us this: as you live your Christian life, keep your eye upon the end. Keep your eye upon the day of judgment. Right? Don't forget that the only thing that counts is the verdict of God. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, I think it is. Paul says there, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. The Lord comes, but who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. See what the Bible is saying? Study studiously, strenuously, disregard the opinions of your brothers and sisters and men. Don't try to get their approval. Live for the approval of one only, and that is the Lord your God. Remember what our Lord Jesus said, that he is coming quickly. And he says, and my reward is with me. So what do we do with this morning? Well, the first thing is this. If you are a saved man or a saved woman or a saved child, the Lord calls you to serve him. Okay? The question comes, how are you going to use the life, the time that he has given you? It may be long, it may be short. How are you going to use it? And Christ calls us, the Bible calls, serve the Lord. Serve him. This is the best use of your life, your time. Serve the Lord. If you are a saved person, if God has brought you to your senses, if he has, as it were, made you realize how sinful you are, and then shown you what we're going to remember now, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the atonement, the Lamb of God for sinners. If this has become part of your thinking, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then things must follow. Serve him. Serve him. But when you serve him, don't fall into the trap of worrying about what people think of you. Don't serve God so that other people will have a good opinion of you and say, what a wonderful person, what a very religious person, what a good man, or what a good woman. Don't do that. Have your eye only on the Lord. Serve the Lord and wait for his Son to come. Whatever you do, do it as to the Lord. That's the message of Scripture. So you see here this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ has warned us of a terribly fatal mistake. And that fatal mistake will lead a man to lose his reward forever. There's nothing more awful. Can you take a minute to think how dreadful it would be to pass in front of the judgment seat of God and realize he doesn't praise you for what you've done. He doesn't have a well done. You had that from your friends. You had it from your neighbors. Well, the Lord comes and he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. May God's gracious Holy Spirit help us to deal with our hearts and rid us of pride and self-interest and really self-serving, so that we lay our lives on the altar for him. Amen.